You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. I like to start every Friday program off with that. It is Friday. Friday is a special day for me. It's a day off, and I do enjoy my day off every chance that I get. And I hope that you do as well. I hope that you've got plans to be in the house of God. I hope that praising the Lord is not something we just talk about, but that it is something that you do. We have been talking this week about it's something that's supposed to be done daily, that there were people assigned to praise God of the morning, praise God of an evening, praising in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him in the noontime. Just praise God. It'll get your day started right. It will cause you to finish your day right. And if you get up and you start your day praising the Lord, if you had a tormenting dream or an upsetting dream, it will cause you, it'll put you right in the right frame of mind. I heard somebody had a conversation with somebody, and they were telling me someone had been upset with them, and come to find out the person was upset with them not because of something they had done, but something that the person had dreamed that they had done. And so if you've been trying to put your finger, why am I in a bad mood today? It might have had something to do with, you know, the sleep that you had last night, which could have been a rocket that was going up way too early in the morning. I'm not talking about, you know, whether it's just today or some other time. I mean, it seems like this year there's been a lot of rockets that have decided to go off right in the deepest sleep that I have. You know, it could be something that, you know, just didn't go well during the night. And you can put that on the correct path just by starting to praise the Lord. If you've had a great day, praise the Lord. If you had a bad day, you can end it and say, you know what? It was a bad day, a rough day. I survived. Praise the Lord. And it puts you right in the opportunity to get a good night of sleep, because now you've put things in the proper perspective, and that is Lord over the good days, he's Lord over the rough days, and he's Lord over the nighttime as well. If you don't have a church home, I would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30, and we just love to get together to praise his name, to feast on his word, and to see what wondrous things he's done. Today we're going to be in We are going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Every once in a while when I'm preaching at church, I'll be thinking one thing, another word comes out of my mouth, and people look at me like, are you sure about that? And that's when they give me that cockeyed look, I was like, wait a minute, what did I say? Because it might not have been what I meant to say. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat and how important praising the Lord was to him. And so we're going to read this in chunks today, because I don't know how far we'll get. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1 says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king over Judah. He was a good king. He was a godly king, not a perfect king, but they came to battle against Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. So that's where we're going to stop right now. Jehoshaphat was minding his own business, and all of a sudden, some people who should not have been attacking him decided that they were going to create an alliance among themselves, and they were going to attack the southern kingdom, which was the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And they decided that they were going to come and battle against Jehoshaphat. What do you do when hostile forces have set themselves to seek your destruction? A lot of times we will gather some wise minds and say, "Hey, what do we do in this situation?" Sometimes you can consult, you know, counselors. Sometimes you can consult finance people. You can consult physicians. All of those things, you know, may have some benefit, but Jehoshaphat took his natural response to this alliance of enemies, and his response was this. He was afraid. It says in verse number 3, "And Jehoshaphat feared." He was afraid. For the enemy, he intends for fear to do one of two things. He intends for fear to immobilize us, or he intends for fear to compromise us, where we will come into an alliance in an ungodly manner. Probably the reason that the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, were not attacked at this point in time was because wickedness was prevailing in the 10 northern tribes. Ahab had just been killed in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And so many times the enemy may be attacking you, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing something right. And so instead of seeking an ungodly alliance, instead of being immobilized by fear, Jehoshaphat took his fear in the right direction, and he used it as motivation to set himself to seek the Lord. Before you can set a nation, before you can set a congregation, before you can set a family to seeking the Lord, you have to set yourself to seek the Lord. The enemy wants to use his attacks to distract us and to prevent us from seeking the Lord. But Jehoshaphat said, if ever there was a time to seek the Lord, it's now, and it's going to start with the king. And I'm going to tell you that praise plays a tremendous role in the military victory that is going to be seen here in chapter 20. But praising the Lord without setting yourself to seek the Lord is not going to have the same effect. It's not going to have the same impact. So I pray that you will join with me in setting yourself not just to see a good outcome to whatever battle you might be facing, but you will set yourself to seek the Lord because he's worthy of being sought. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else, all these things shall be added unto you. So make it very, very intentional. So he set himself to seek the Lord, and he made a pronouncement throughout Judah, the kingdom of Judah, and that was he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. If you schedule a feast, you will get a response. If you schedule a prayer meeting, you will get a smaller response. If you proclaim a fast, you will get probably an even smaller response. Fasting is not just doing without. Fasting is choosing spiritual advancement, including an investment of time and resources that would have otherwise gone to just the effort to eat some food. Now, Jehoshaphat, as king, his table would have been filled with the greatest delicacies. And he said, all of those delicacies go away if God doesn't intervene. Have you ever looked at fasting as a means that is going to result in kingdom advancement, that it may keep some things in place? Fasting may be the vehicle that God uses to stop the thief from coming in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I can tell you that fasting and prayer is essential to remove demons from the atmosphere or the proximity to you. If you want to see demons removed, you need to fast and pray. So fasting is an investment. I watched a documentary years ago. Couldn't tell you what it was. It wasn't a scriptural documentary. It was a documentary on zoos. Zoos are great places that you can go to see creatures in your community that you otherwise would not be able to see. So we have the Brevard Zoo. You can see animals from different parts of the world, and they are in captivity. There's been a great effort to create less of a caged captivity and more of a controlled environment where they can go and function and they can be taken care of. They can still be seen, but it gives them more liberty and things like that. In this documentary, they said that when they are providing food for the animals that are kept in zoos, that they don't feed them every day. And the person said, is that just because of budget? Why don't you feed them every day? And they said, we don't feed them every day because in the wild, they don't eat every day. And so they're in their natural environment, there would be some times when their digestive system was not the priority. And I would dare say that spiritually, we could advance, we could hear from God maybe with greater clarity and distinction if we told our body, you're important. Our bodies are important. You only get one. You need to hang on to all the original parts you can for as long as you can. Not just for preservation, because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And say, we're going to make sure that we treat our body as important because it's supposed to be instrument of righteousness, but it's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's a tool for us. It's designed to be utilized so that we seek the Lord. And so I would tell you that fasting reminds us that our spirit's more important than our body is. There's benefit. God, and in fact, instead of turning rocks to stone, the angels came and brought food from heaven. There's going to be times when you are fasting that heaven is going to provide you the strength and the nutrition that you need. And there's also some tremendous health benefits that come from, you know, operating in a healthy manner of fasting. And so the entire nation chooses to fast. One of the interesting things about Jonah's ministry is that when he's told Nineveh, hey, you're gonna be destroyed in a certain period of time, that the king of Assyria at that time set a time of fasting, and they went around in sackcloth and ashes. They even put on sackcloth and ashes on their animals, and God took notice of that even in the animals. Fasting is very important. So when he proclaims that fast throughout all Judah, Judah gathers together to ask help from the Lord, and they came to seek the Lord. When we come together, we get to seek the Lord, and we get to help the Lord. We've always had a time of praying for needs in our congregation, and we are thankful for that. We are thankful for whenever we hear testimonies. And we have made a renewed emphasis to enlarge the table, if you will, so that it is not just me praying, but that there's congregation members who are praying. And here a few weeks ago, see, when was it? It was a little over a month ago, right at a month ago. Some of our family members were traveling back up north. They had been down south in South Florida. They'd been on a vacation with their family down there. And they came, they stopped at our church, and they worshiped with us that day. And when it came time for us to pray, someone mentioned, hey, I noticed your son-in-law just went over and started praying for somebody. And I thought, wow, that is really good. And I said, well, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but my grandson, who was only, let's put it this way, he's less than five, but when he saw his grandma go over and start praying with someone, that would be my wife, he went over and laid his little toddler hand on that person and began to pray for them as well. You see, when we think of all nation, we might think it's all adults. But I pray that when we are under attack, that we don't, you know, exclude any generation or any demographic, but we say, look, we need all knees on deck. I've never heard that expression before. I just modified all hands on deck. When we as a nation are under attack, we need to make sure that all prayers, everyone who believes in Jesus, who is going to pray the prayer of faith, that everybody is on hand to pray and seek the face of the Lord and to ask God to help us. So back in April, I preached a message. I met an author at that meeting that showed up at our minister's meeting. She gave me a copy of her book. It's absolutely phenomenal. I think it's supposed to be available sometime here in the month of August. But I preached a message that day on God realized that man was going to need help. And so there's help that comes from other relationships. There's God-ordained help that comes from other relationships. Sometimes people get fixated on the authority structure inside of a marriage, not realizing that we are all called to help one another complete the mission that God has for us. If we would stop looking at one another as hostile forces and look at one another as we are supposed to, which is that we are gifts from God to one another, called to help one another. Whichever person is under attack, we all need to be there to help. And so sometimes your help will come from your husband, if you're a lady. Sometimes your help will come from your wife, if you are a man. Sometimes your help may come from your children. I remember hearing a testimony 40 years ago, wow, time flies, about a lady in the church we were at, and she said she found herself in a distressful situation as she was driving in the car, and her toddler son said, "You don't have to worry. God's going to provide exactly what we need right over this next hill." And sure enough, the help was there. And it was because it was out of the mouth of a child, still young enough to be in a car seat, that the mother had enough faith and saw God come through. Sometimes it will come through your parents or your grandparents. But out of all of the sources of help, you know, and God the Holy Spirit is the paraclete. He's one who's called alongside to help. The greatest source of help, the most frequent source of help mentioned in the Bible is not from the doctor, not from the banker, not from any other human, but it's from God. Whatever battle you're facing today, I want you to know that you are not facing it alone. God is there. Just as surely as he was with Daniel in the den of lions, he is with you. Just as he was present with Moses and the children of Israel as they were under attack from Pharaoh's army, they seemed that they were trapped and doomed for destruction until God made a way. God will make a way for you. When the children of Israel found themselves with no food, God made a way. As he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace that had been heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been before, it was a pit of fire meant for their destruction. But God got down in the fire with them, protected them from the flames, loosened them from their bonds, caused them to not even smell like smoke. And then they emerged from that to a promotion. God is our very present help in time of need. So today, if you find yourself under attack, I want you to know you are not the first person. Jehoshaphat knows exactly what that was like. If the news that you have heard has caused you some fear and anxiety, you are not the first person to experience that. But do not let that fear cause you to be timid. Do not let it immobilize you. Let that fear drive you into the presence of the Lord, where you set yourself not just to see your problem solved, but instead that you seek the Lord so that his dominion extends not just over your spirit, but over your problem as well. You see, when the Lord's domain is under his lordship, one word from his mouth will remedy that situation very, very quickly. Seek the Lord. Don't start it yourself. You don't have to announce it to anybody. Just start doing it yourself, and then watch as you have extend the invitation to others to do that as well. They may join you as well. There may be a time where you say, you know what? I think I'm going to spend my dinner time tonight seeking the face of the Lord instead of seeking a cheeseburger, and I'm a guy that happens to like cheeseburgers. I just happen to like whatever God wants for me more than I like a cheeseburger. So the people of Judah, they did just that. While under attack, they gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from every city they came to seek the face of the Lord. You've got a weekend in front of you. Wouldn't it be great if we sought the Lord, and then when we gathered together, we saw a victory? Let's praise the Lord for the victory that is to come. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.